Blog Talk Radio. What did I do wrong? What did I do? I just want someone to love me because I love
everyone, and welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Caring for Animals, number 231 and counting, on Blog Talk Radio. This show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's Marty Oakley's website. And be a huge thank you for promoting this show every week, Marty Oakley, and also Animal or Voices Caring for Animals. I was a host on her network, TS Radio Network, for 163 shows, been running over 5 years, and after that it went on to my own, and she trained me and helped me out, get this one started on Animal Advocates Radio. So, Marty Luke, you a big thank you for her. She's got some great shows going on her network, usually 5 days a week if you want to check them out, follow her. Just look up TS Radio Network or Marty Oakley and press follow under Blog Talk Radio. And every time there's a new podcast coming up, it will be delivered to your email to alert you. And also on my network, Animal Advocates Radio, you can press follow under the logo and it also will alert you in your primary email. A new podcast is coming up. www.blogtalkradio.com/voicescaringforanimals. So everyone, you know, as a team, we can make it and help these animals out in need, because all these shows and this radio platform is coming from all angles to help them. The far, domestic, wild, I mean, the list is long. And there's been successful shows, and that's a big, huge thank you to all you audience out there, the callers, the former guests, of making it happen, and especially Marty Oakley. So thank you, Marty, and keep up the great work you're doing also. If you listen in, I've had her call in several times, and she is rocking the network. So, everyone, my name is Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio. Please spread the word. There's a lot of help going to help promote this show. Even the Humane Society of Louisiana has got it on their page. Thank you. A big shout-out to Jeff and all the staff for all they're doing for the animals, bringing out, you know, bringing the negative into the positive, you know, helping the animals live more comfortably and, you know, free from fear and anxiety, you know, torture, abuse, neglect. All this stuff is crimes, and they should be treated like crimes. So everyone, do your part to help out because the animals need us. It's, you know, they can't speak out for themselves. They are defenseless. They're helpless, voiceless. And, you know, we have to do our part. And there's been a lot of victories coming in 2019, and I hope they keep coming, because it's rocking the legislation all the way to the end. So just a couple more things. This number right here I'm going to give to everyone. I'm going to take calls at the end of the show, towards the end of the show. Area code 310-982-4270. And press 1 to speak. Yeah, you'll be in a queue, and try to refrain from any noises in the background, conversations, TV, radios, and you're more than welcome to come on board and be professional and polite with the guest. That's all I ask, and with myself, because we want to go. We need more kindness in this world, dignity and respect, because there's so many issues out there, we can't even cover them all. It's overwhelming. So more action takers out there, the better. And I'm going to be bringing on my guest. That number I gave you is 310-982-4270. And it's the same number every week on Voices Carry for Animals to listen in or call in, or you can even Skype in. And you're more than welcome to call, and please spread the word, because the more voices out there, everyone, the better, the action takers, because it doesn't get any easier than help make changes in the comfort of your home, your phone, your computer, you know, your fax, your copier. I mean, it doesn't not get any more easier. And you're your own boss, so you can do it. I mean, you know, your own leader, and you can, you know, recruit other ones through social media out there, you know, making it go viral, pressing that share button, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, WordPress, Pinterest. I mean, there's so many social media sites that everyone can share the information on. But I want to get this show going. My guest is Jeff Dorson. He is the executive director at Humane Society of Louisiana, and I want to welcome him on board and hope he enjoys the show and can invite him back. This Humane Society of Louisiana is a private animal protection charity founded in New Orleans in 1988. The Humane Society of Louisiana protects and defends animals from cruelty, neglect, and mistreatment through cruelty investigation, crime prevention, education, and animal care programs. The Humane Society of Louisiana is a licensed pet detective agency working to fight cruelty in the trenches and to prevent animal abuse wherever it occurs. They operate programs ranging from disaster relief and emergency response to life-saving cross-country adoption transports carried out in a partnership with small rural shelters. They respond to cruelty and emergency complaints around the state, working daily with shelter directors, law enforcement officers, DAs, and caring citizens statewide. Jeff, you're live and on the air. Welcome to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carry for Animals, number 231. This is such an honor. How are you this evening? Go ahead.
Well, thanks for that wonderful intro, Deb, and congratulations to you on the accomplishment of 231. That's an awful lot of work under your belt, and I think we're all grateful for it. You've mentioned so many key things, and I'll just reiterate it. You and everybody listening can be their own special advocate. We have all the technology at our fingertips, and it can be used for good. So I beg everybody, make an effort in 2019. Use more social media to help change the mental and physical environment so that animals have an easier go of it. Learn how to lobby. Learn how to investigate. Learn how to educate yourself and educate others. This is our opportunity, and the years are slipping by, and I'd like all of us to notch it up a little bit so that we can, you know, at the end of it all, we can look back and say, you know, I gave it my all. So that's my pitch for tonight. How can we do 10% more and get it more done collectively?
That's right, because it doesn't happen overnight, Jeff. And there's a lot of problems we've had come in from the 21st or the 20th century that rolled over to the 21st century, and it's still going on. I mean, what's our excuses for all these problems and issues that we need to come together as one and do our part, you know? Ray Bittner, she's the Community Cats United. She's been on the shows several times. She's a wonderful person doing her work. She crosses over, helps animals. And when she tells me we are strength in numbers, that is so true. Mm-hmm. It just sticks in my head, you know, because the power of the people, or, you know, the power of the advocates. Because can you imagine a world without advocates and advocacy? It would be terrible. The problems would be 10 times worse. And thank you, Ray. I hope you push that one button, because, you know, she's a big supporter of this show also, listening in, calls in, and a lot of guests have done that. And I appreciate it. A lot of them are working together from these shows. You know, I hooked them up with, you know, Facebook friends or LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And that makes that train go longer, you know, that,
mm-hmm.
hey, let's
right.
all push this train going through the United States of America
yeah.
and through worldwide, you know, because
mm-hmm.
I notice I got friends from all over the world and my Facebook friends and followers, you know, all over the social media. I said, see, that's what it takes, this word, you know, going from one person to the next advocate, you know, just doing what we can do to help out. It's
and
wonderful.
I'm so glad you use and keep using the word advocate. It's a powerful word, and it, in my mind, it means champion, that you're willing to be in the corner for all these animals that need it, and you're willing to stand up, like you and I said, sometimes by yourself, sometimes with a crowd. But it's taking that action that will make all the difference, however small it is. We have a fun campaign called 100 Acts of Kindness, or maybe it's 1,000 acts of kindness, where we simply ask people during a certain month, do one thing, because there's strength in multiplication. So that's what we're always trying to do in Louisiana. How can we expand and encourage and empower? The word empower is equally wonderful. It's in our mission statement, to empower individuals in society and communities to help animals in need, because we want to give this work away. We can't possibly do it ourselves. But when there's an on switch for all of us called I wish somebody could help to I'll be that person. So that's what we're always looking for, that electrical switch in all of us where we do a little bit more, where we take more action, where we see ourselves in a bigger growing part of this movement. That's where the difference
oh, yeah.
can be made.
Agreed. I mean, it's just, and you know what? It's all meaningful time, too, because you're helping
mm-hmm.
making a positive impact in this world. You're not just,
yep.
you know, we cannot shut our mouths. We cannot close our ears or close our eyes to what's going on out there, all the negative and all the violence
mm-hmm.
and the abuse and the neglect. Because if we do that, it's going to keep going on, and you know, just like the children and the elderly, the animals,
uh-huh.
they are all defenseless. They can't speak out for themselves. You know, they can't call
mm-hmm.
the police or make the reports. We have to do it for them, and so we have to put
Good
our
point.
Foot down and say, "Listen, enough is enough. We have to strengthen these laws." You know, harsher penalties and stiff. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's something. It has to continue because we have to update on everything. You know, we have to get everything revised because this is almost the year 2020 coming up right
yep.
up the sidelines. So, you know, we're looking out for, hey, animals that are not even born yet or ones that's coming up, the suffering
mm-hmm.
and the it's terrible out there. There are some animals that do get treated fairly, but then there's a large portion that doesn't. And they shouldn't
yep.
have to suffer. You know, we need more compassion for animals in this world. We're not ever going to go down to zero on abuse and neglect, but at least it can massively decrease instead of stay the same or increase. You know, Jeff, it's all up to us.
I like what you're saying. Yeah, and the way I think one way to attack it is to create more agreement. That's what holds our society together. That's what laws are based on, agreements. We agree to this certain speed limit, and the penalty will be this if you break that barrier. So I'm always trying to create more agreement that there's a value, intrinsic value in animals. Their lives mean something. Their suffering means something. So I'm always trying to build on that larger awareness of agreements. So that's what I see is always missing and needed, especially in the Deep South, where the cultural agreement right now is animals have very little value and you can do with them what you please. So that's been my challenge. How to now add on to that, change the mentality, the perspective and viewpoint from animals don't matter to animals do matter.
That's right.
And we do that by changing laws, by being in the public, by being aggressive, by challenging the status quo, by showing up at meetings, by talking to politicians, by building awareness, by mobilizing and vocalizing.
That's right. Communication is our best answer. you know, being
mm-hmm.
polite to the politicians, coming together with them, we the people and the politicians.
Mm-hmm.
When I called up, I says, hey, when we the people and the politicians come together as one, we get some meaningful results if there's enough of us. You know, if there's only a handful, it takes longer. So when we have this big chain reaction of humans coming together and doing their part, whether it's writing
yep.
an email or whether it's making a phone call or signing a petition, you know, sending a fax, this all matters. I mean, your voice
it
is
does.
Your vote. It,
yep.
every,
it's
every
all
life
building
matters.
On something. Yep. It's
That's
a, the
right.
ripple effect on every action has a ripple effect, especially when it's a positive reaction. So keep doing it, everybody who's listening. Keep doing
mm-hmm.
your positive actions, volunteering at your shelter, helping with adoptions, reducing or eliminating meat and dairy from your diet, taking in one more
yeah.
animal, doing a fundraiser. I mean, imagine if we all got a little bit better at all those different – learn how to lobby. Who is your local mayor, your local city council members, your U.S. representatives? I talk to a lot of advocates and activists, and they're a little bit fuzzy on all that. So, and they've never been to their state capital. So huge opportunity for all of us. How does the system work? And so you can use it to your advantage. How does a bill get introduced? How do you lobby effectively? How do you get it out of committee? How do you get it onto the Senate floor? These are useful things to know, and you can get better and better at it.
Oh yeah, practice makes perfect. The more you do it, the faster you get. I mean, it's amazing, Jeff, what I could do in an hour's time taking
yep.
action. I mean, it is
yep.
amazing. I'm
True.
So fast it
if
makes
you're
my
focused,
head spin.
Yep.
Yes.
Good for you. Yeah.
Yes.
I time myself. I give myself 1 hour here, 1 hour there, 1 hour there. I'm a busy guy because I want my time. My clock is ticking. I want to help as many animals as possible in the time I have. I've been doing this 30 years, and I still have a lengthy to-do list every single day. And I check it off as I move because, you know, the lives of animals matter. And,
that's
you know,
right.
I feel responsible for them. So I got to give it – I feel like I'm in a wrestling match, and at the end of my career, I'm going to say, I gave it everything.
That's right.
If you go to our Facebook page, you can see what we do on a daily basis. We try and cover an enormous amount of work in a short period of time because that's what motivates us. How do we get to them, the remotest parts of our state? How do we develop relationships so that the police will go in, make the arrest, we'll take the animal, pay for its care? So I'm forever doing this logistical dance with law enforcement and local veterinarians so that we form a quick team. Half our state, Deb, doesn't even have animal control services. There's nobody to call if there's a stray, injured, or orphaned animal in half our state. So
oh,
it is a
no,
real challenge.
Funny.
You don't want my phone calls.
Mm.
Yeah, so that and it's true for a lot of states. Yeah.
Whoa.
So if you go on our Facebook page, you'll see case after case after case where we have to enlist the local law enforcement, explain to them what the laws are, because most of them don't always know. Go in. Do your crime processing, make the arrest, then we show up, take the animal, or we just say put it in the back of your squad car and take it to the local vet, and we'll take it on from there. Then we post and raise money. We do that almost every single day, but it adds up, and it's creating relationships and partnerships with sheriffs and police. It's not in their budget. Trust me, they're not going to pay for a vet to come out if a horse is down, but we will. So they're happy, we're happy, and so that's what we're trying to do, build on these wins and successes and this new approach. Rather than saying they should, we say, how can we help?
Yeah, well, what can we do? I mean, it's you know, you could get involved with an organization, anyone out there, you know, just like on your Facebook page or your website. And I've checked
mm-hmm.
out, you know, both, and they're awesome. They're wonderful, everybody. Please check it out. Jeff, if you could give out the information to the website.
Sure.
And also your Facebook page. And, you know, invite
yep.
friends. You know, share
mm-hmm.
it on your Facebook page or to LinkedIn, Twitter, you know, Pinterest. that's how the word gets out there, because there's, I mean, out there, there's so many websites that if you don't help promote them, how are they going to know to go there, you know? So
yeah.
Please get out there and help out any which way you can, you know, press that share
right.
button, you know, recruit
and
more
people
coming in.
And we're not affiliated. Right. We're not affiliated with any national group. So there's not much trickle-down effect. If you give to a national group, most of them, some of them are pretty generous. Some just don't share. So we don't get – we get very – or almost nothing from the large groups except Alicat Allies and one or two others. But typically, we're on our own. I started this group in 88, and I can't call up a national group and say, can you bail us out and go do this investigation, pay for this debt bill? So it doesn't happen as much as we'd like. So, but that's okay because we've learned how to be creative and resourceful and use our budget and resources wisely. We have a low overhead. 80% or more goes directly into programs where it's needed most in remote areas that have no services. So feel confident that when you give your $10, $9 goes to an animal in need. That's what I like. We're responsible for the outcome.
And it's so worth it, too. I mean, because they're out there, and, you know, I wanted to bring up Hurricane Katrina there, Jeff, because that was a nasty hurricane also. And these hurricanes
are not
going to
stop. That kicked us in the bottom, No.
And it was so
devastating. With global warming.
I mean, all the hurricanes that do major damage are bad, but it's like, wow, you know, you can't imagine, you know, when your electric goes out, everything that you need, trees down, you know, I mean, disaster areas, house torn up, you know, it affects everybody because it's so, you know, these people need help or the pets. And, you know, some people have left pets out during the hurricanes. There's a law here in Florida now that's no more going to be put up with, you know, so... and it shouldn't, because if you go stand out in a hurricane, you just act like you're a dog tied to a tree and see how you like it, you know, or sit on a tree, no food, no water. You know, this is devastating stuff. And a big shout out to, you know, your emergency response team. I mean, all the work they put in their lives on the line, you know, disaster relief, a big shout out to them all over the world.
Yep.
Because they, you know, the police, look who all gets involved here, help saving lives. So we have to, you know, the firemen. I mean, it's just a whole list, neighbors, you know, then you see the neighbors helping neighbors out and you know, strangers helping strangers out. I mean, everybody comes out of the woodwork to help one another, and it's awesome. Families helping families, you know, in time of need. And these animals, you know, some of them need help out there without a hurricane. So we have to look at that, too, or any kind of fires that's been going on. Look what they have to go through. Some of them don't make it, and that's the sad part. And then you see these...
So
these,
true.
These,
so,
these,
yep.
Yes.
We've been active ever since Katrina. That was the first wake-up call for the whole nation that we all have to get really good at disaster relief. So we actually have responded to everything from Gustav to the BP oil spill to just recently Barry. And you have to get ready and mobilize. So we've come up with a little program that's been effective. Once we see something's in the Gulf and headed our way, 2 or 3 or 4 days out, we mobilize people from around the country. They come in and move hundreds and hundreds of animals from shelters that might be in the way so that they're freed up to bring in intakes and do triage. So it's a great system. Hats off to my staff who worked around the clock for Barry. They moved 330 animals out of about 7 or 8 shelters, cleared them all out. And that was a brilliant thing. Then they're ready. Their staff is well prepared. They can deal with the disaster better.
Oh, yeah, and that's playing it smart, too. You know, you're looking out for them. Because, I mean, they do give you notice and everything, but there's time to prepare for it, you know, and try to make it safe for everyone and try to protect these. Because there's a lot of wildlife out there, too, that get hit. And
yep,
so
they're forgotten and farm animals. Yep.
Yep. And that's sad. I mean, it's like, you know, they're living out there 24/7 in all weather conditions. So
yeah, people forget that their food source, which is the leaves and grass, are now killed. They have no place to eat or sleep because it's all flooded. So you're right. But a quick shout out to who came to our aid during Katrina, North Shore Animal League, and then recently American Humane. They really went way out of their way to help us. So we're grateful for their support along with Alley Cat Allies.
Yeah.
And all the volunteers who gave, you know, they're unnamed. They just showed up and helped and left. And they do that on a regular basis.
And that's great.
Real heroes.
I mean, because if you look at all the organization out there and all the staff and all the volunteers that help out, big shout out to all of them because it's so meaningful. All these lives of animals, they do matter, just like humans. Because animals and humans are all on this earth temporarily, so we got to make the best of it. And for now
good
and
for
the
you.
Futures. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to,
come
together as one and do our part. Put a little love in your heart and do your part. Because it does matter.
Put.
Their lives matter. You know? And whatever we can do to improve, and like you were saying, Jeff, that, you know, hey, we can do 10% better or improvement, get more people involved, getting more, you know, because I've noticed on Facebook, a lot of the Facebook pages, especially the ones I admin on and groups, the insights is way down, you know, the sharing's down. So we got to pick that back up, you know, spread that word because that means the animals we're losing, we're failing. If we do that, we don't want to fail the animals. We want to win for them. We're winners for the animals, not losers. So,
well, good for you
please.
For being our cheerleader. Yeah, and pumping us up and telling us to keep playing when we don't feel like it or when we're tired. We need somebody like you. Keep shouting from the coach's box. You know, keep playing, even when you're tired, even when you don't have enough money or resources, even when you want to give up. Well, don't.
Right.
Keep playing. You can't
win
if you quit.
Keep playing. That's right. There are winners out there. I mean, we have to win for them. We can't lose because, if we give up and quit, we automatically lose for them. And then
Correct.
The problems get worse. You know, we know all these issues out there in the United States that need attention to. You know, cross over and help sometimes. You know, that means a lot.
Sure.
So,
well, your show is important.
Thank you.
Your show keeps us focused. Yep.
Yeah, I want to keep everybody awake, you know. Wake up, America. Do your part. You know, we can't just sit there. I heard somebody say the other day, we can't just sit there. We got to jump into it. And that's true. We have to be involved and dedicate. And don't just sit down with your eyes closed and just talk about it. Be less talk and all action, and you're going to get farther. You know, put them words,
well
comments,
said.
In the Facebook. You know, and just, hey, take that to a legislator. 202 area code, 224-3121. They're going to ask you. You could find your state rep or your senator. Ask for your zip code and lead you right through during office hours, okay, during the week. Mm-hmm. After hours, you can leave a message. You know, so never think that your voice doesn't matter because it does. And we got a caller here, Jeff, if you want to go ahead and take it. And area code 719. You're live and on there. Is this, I recognize the area code, Mama Cat. Are you
it's
there?
It's me, Mama Cat.
Hey,
I take it she's a regular, Deb?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
She is so awesome. She's a former guest several times. Community Cats United. She's out there helping them street cats. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Them stray cats.
That's perfect.
Yeah, but go ahead.
Really Ray. Needed. Well done.
Yes.
Hey, I got a question for you. Well, kind of a statement and a question, I guess. Most people do not realize that the smaller humane societies like your own are not getting the money from the Maine Humane Society of the United States. They believe
Correct.
When they send in to the Humane
yeah.
Society of the United States that they trickle it down, that they divvy it up. And
yep.
like
misconception.
We have one here, the Humane Society of Fremont County. They do wonderful, wonderful things. And I've seen so many times people telling them, look, I gave to, you know, the
Your
Humane
National.
Society.
I know. I get that once a day.
And I try to push the fact that that's a totally different thing. These smaller ones still have to fundraise. They still have to raise
mm-hmm.
money. They're
yep.
doing it on, you know, like you. And so I think it's just a misconception that people are assuming, we know what that does, you know, that when they give to the big companies or organizations that it does, in fact, trickle down to you guys. And I don't know how many times a day I have to have this conversation and let people know, no, these smaller ones have to do their own fundraising. They're
mm-hmm.
on their own. They're doing, you know, this, you guys are doing the same thing we're doing. You're on the ground, boots on the ground, struggling, doing fundraisers, you know,
yep.
just like the rest of us have to do it.
Yep. Yeah, got to save animals and then come home and do a bake sale. So you're right. The
yeah.
grassroots is not well funded. I don't know why that. Why the national groups? I don't want to start accusing anybody, but I am critical that they could do a lot better. They could share.
Right.
They could divide it up. But I'll leave that for a different topic, a different show. But what you raised a good point. Give locally because it makes the most difference. We're all low paid, and our hearts are in the right spot, and we're out to. You know, provide great services. So that's why I always encourage people to give to their local groups, but make sure that your philosophy is in alignment with theirs. I wouldn't give to a rescue group that then has a barbecue every Friday and, you know, serves hamburgers and hot dogs as a fundraiser. It doesn't align with my philosophy that every animal counts and you can't kill one to raise money for another.
Right.
So that's,
and, you know,
my soapbox.
That's what makes
yeah.
so difficult animal advocacy, because we're having to advocate for each species separate.
Right. Right.
It doesn't make sense at all. I mean, an animal is an animal is an animal, and we should be able to kind of lump them together in some sort of legislation, but it's not, you know, of course. So we have to split our time between cats and dogs and chickens and cows and horses and elephants and
yeah.
you know, the list on and on every single day. There's another, you know, and I'm only a one person, but I do as much as I can, and I you know, my main goal is for the cats. There's so little being done for them, but
uh-huh.
there's being done for so many. You know, so I try to split my time up evenly, but it gets so overwhelming.
Of course. So just stick with your diet. If you can avoid meat, that's a big plus. The average American eats 30 animals a year. So imagine
wow.
if you reduce or eliminate that, you've just saved 10 pigs, a cow, goats, and lambs. It makes a huge difference. Imagine if 10 of us did that. There's 300 animals that we saved each year. So, you know, and these fast food chains are making it easier with the vegan burgers. Great big change right in front of our eyes in our lifetime. So take advantage
you know,
of it.
Kind of funny that you mentioned that. I tried one of those. I have to admit that I was a meat eater. And, you know, it's hard to advocate for one when you're munching on another.
Good point.
You know,
excellent key point.
So
that beef
I'm,
could have been a cat in a different culture.
Absolutely. So I tried, and I'm, you know what, I'm going to tell you, and I'm not an advocate or anything for Burger King, but Burger King came out with that not beef burger.
Impossible
you would
Whopper.
Not,
you can't tell the difference.
You wouldn't know.
I know.
If I,
I know you can't.
I'm immensely surprised, because who would think that, you know,
I was worried they got my order wrong. I was worried I was eating a real Whopper. Its taste and texture are identical. So
what is it called,
everybody?
The Impossible, right? Is that what it's called at Burger King?
Well, yes, Impossible Whopper. And then there's Beyond Meat, and they're doing well. So virtually every week, a new fast food restaurant is announcing a rollout of at least one item on their menu. Carl's Jr. and Dunkin' Donuts, and all sorts of them are now at least trying it, and we got to support their efforts. So buy your meatless.
I believe McDonald's too. I read.
Are they trying?
What's coming up?
Okay.
Yeah. If you go on livekindly.org they got updates on that.
Okay.
Yes.
So, something's happening. There's definitely a shift in that part of our lifestyle where people are trying more vegan options than ever before, and they're becoming popular. Imagine saying, "Well, you try this meatless hamburger 5 years ago, you would have been slapped in the face." But now it's becoming common.
Right, because people are looking at it differently now. You know, they're having more compassion for animals and seeing what's going on behind the scenes, the closed doors. Some of these cows and pigs that are living so, I mean, it's terrible. You know, crammed up in cages, you know, getting kicked and getting, you know, hit with pitchforks. I've seen so much horrific stuff. I mean, it's like, why? This is animal cruelty in the first degree. How are they getting by with this?
On an industrial scale. Right.
Yeah.
Right. There's a profit. And, so let us take away their profits.
And social media is putting it right in everybody's living room.
Yeah.
You know, before
good point.
It was behind closed doors, out of sight, out of mind. But social media, the way it is, we can reach so many more people in such a short amount of time, you know, and, you know, you hear people, well, I just don't have time and I can't do this. And yes, you can. You're on your phone. Go online, hit share.
Exactly.
It's not that hard. Anybody can do it. And Deb, I got to tell you, my grandson started school yesterday. And his big thing for what did you do over the summer was all about you and your show and how he's going to be on your show. He is so excited.
Oh, because I can't wait for him to talk and tell him thank you so much. You know, that's so sweet of him. And I believe you're coming on next month, right? Let me look at the calendar here. You're coming on next month. This is great.
Because when kids talk to kids, it spreads faster than me going in there talking to the kids, which I do. But when it's coming from another child, you know, their own peers, everybody's hand was up in the air. They wanted to know what it was about and what is a feral cat, and it was wonderful. He came home with a grin on his face you couldn't peel off if you tried.
Hey, what's his first name?
Skyler.
You tell Skyler thank you for the very heartfelt and meaningful words, and I can't wait till he comes on. You know, this is going to be great.
Yeah,
yes.
He loves it. He wears his cat people hat all over the place.
and he don't have to be nervous when he comes on the radio, you know, ask them some basic questions and stuff like that. Because, you know, when you start out, and this is so true, Jeff, when you start the children out young to treat animals with dignity and respect, they tend to do it their whole life. You know, like these elementaries have more field trips to these rescues and see them up front. And, you know, because a lot of, you know, some of them don't have pets at home. So if they get out and visit them and talk more, educate them more in schools, then, you know, this world will be a better place for the animals, you know, just starting them out. Look at him. He's, what, 10? And he's,
yep,
what he's doing. I mean, he's going to remember this the rest of his life, you know, what he's doing for the animals, the positive, bringing the negative into the positive. So this is great.
Well, and you know, so many kids, they don't know. You know, it's,
right,
it's not something that's spoke about at home, and maybe their parents don't know. I don't know that. But like I said, when it's coming from the kids, and that's what I wanted to ask you, Jeff. You were saying something about school education, and what is it that you do in Louisiana to get the word out to the children?
Actually, that's one of our weak spots. We don't really have a formal program. We used to have people, volunteers, go into our high schools and gymnasiums and such in New Orleans, but we've never developed a strong program for that, what you're talking about. So we mainly do cruelty investigations. We're a licensed detective agency. So really our focus has always been about lobbying for stronger laws and the enforcement of them. So we don't, I wish we had an educational component, but it's one of our weaknesses because we're always busy in the field. Every day we do about 5 or 6 complaints over the phone around the state, and we're always having to move assets and logistics to help animals in distress because often it's emergency, time sensitive, and we only have a few hours to get to the animal. So I'm on the phone 4 or 5 hours a day with different sheriffs and police virtually every day because we're like a 911 hotline for the state, and you have to move quickly. So unfortunately, to our detriment, educational team.
Well, I got the school, when I moved into this house, there was a horrible situation with feral cats. And I must admit that my head was in the sand because I had never even heard the word feral. I didn't know what that was. I knew there were a lot of cats in my yard. There was 23, and I made a phone call to our local society. They made a call to a lady, which ironically turned out to be an old neighbor of mine. And she came here, taught me everything I needed to know, got me the traps, got me houses that the Boy Scouts had built for the cats. And that's how I got started. And I saw that the kids in the neighborhood were not very kind to these animals. But it was because their parents were not very kind to the animals. And so I went to the school, which was like a half a block from my house, and I asked if they could mascot my colony and they could learn with me because I was learning, you know. And now I didn't involve them in any of the trapping or anything like that because, you know, we can't have any children getting bit by ferals or anything, but they helped me clean the area. They helped me talk to their parents, and they helped me. They did pennies for the kitty or coins for kitties. They would bring their things to school and, you know, to buy for the cats. And that's how I got just the local community right in my area, the children involved. And it was funny because the kids went to their parents and told their parents about what we were doing. And then the parents stopped kicking the cats and stopped chasing the cats out of their neighborhood because they knew they've all been fixed, they all have shots, and chances are my cats are healthier than anybody else's cat. You know, and so that's how I got the kids in our local area started it was my Institute Street, which is where the school was. That's how I got the kids involved. And they love it.
Well, yeah, I like your story of reaching as many as you can through your own experiences and the kids sharing their experiences. So, and thank you for stepping in and learning all about feral cats and now becoming your own community leader on the issue. That's how things get done. And tell us quickly about your group. Tell me again how you started it, how old is it, how do you fundraise, and what are your programs?
Well, it actually was started, we're coming up on our 5-year anniversary next month. It was started by Beth Frank. And I have a little colony page called Institute Street Feral Cat Colony, because I didn't know anything about it. And so I was reaching out to other, you know, colonies and caretakers to get advice on what do I do for this, what do I do for that. And Beth Frank saw my page, and she put me on this little, she had a map, and she was collecting information of spay and neuter clinics and other colony managers so that in her group, which is Trap Neuter Return Community, that people could reach out, they could go to this map and talk to other people that were doing the same thing, get advice and, you know, share your stories and stuff like that. So when I saw she put my colony on that map, it was like, oh my gosh, you know, my little colony matters. And that was like the boost that I needed to, and that's how I got involved. I hooked up with Beth Frank. And ever since then, her and I worked together. She has a Community Cats United, Inc., is her corporation. And we've got a cat page for every state. We have one in Louisiana.
Nice.
And people go there and reach out and find, like, if I have a vet that has done wonderful things, I put his name on there, and other people can reach out, you know, and get your advice on this vet or this clinic or who can I get help from? I've got this problem. And it's been an amazing journey. And I've been helping with the groups now for a couple of years, 3 years, I guess, maybe four. But her vision touched me because these cats just, you know, they just want to live. That's all. They don't want stage your space. They don't want to, they're hungry and they're scared out there. They've got nowhere. They've
Right.
And, you know, we built houses and we feed them every day. And it's just, you know, it makes you feel, when my colony was a complete success. All 23 cats, well, 19 of them were pregnant, of course, when I moved here. 174 babies.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the people don't get, though. That's just 23 cats. We have millions of cats across the country, and if 23 can make 174 babies in one season,
I mean,
you know, I couldn't even imagine what cats would have accumulated if nothing had been done. You know, there had been thousands of them, and they don't have it easy, you know. So any person that can spay and neuter one animal, just one, makes a huge difference. I'm sure you know that.
Yeah, we all do. So what you're saying is we all have to do a little bit more, and those go a long way. Every action makes a huge difference. So I like what you're saying. And you've taken it to the extreme of pretty much devoting every waking hour now to making a difference in your community and probably around the state. What state are you in?
Colorado.
Okay. Well, you're quite a success story, and we have a lot to learn from you. One person can make a huge difference. If they want to, it's going to take some effort, and it's a challenge, but it's worth it.
I think it's well worth it. You know, yep. I was a worker. That's what I did. I worked. I was a single mom. That's all I did was work. And then I was in a car accident, and I thought, oh, my goodness, my life as I know it is over. I can't work. I have injury. You know, I was boo-hooing for myself. And then these cats came into my life. And it's like, you know, when one door slams
shut.
Gave
you a purpose.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
even with your disabilities, you can make a huge difference. That's another great lesson. As banged up as you are, you're still willing to get out of bed and get it done.
And, you know, right. We're fortunate here.
Yeah.
We have spay and neuter, free spay and neuter in Denver.
Nice.
So
nice.
I can bring cats as I want, but there's so many places that there are no options.
Right.
You know, one, my big thing that I want to work on and try and figure out how we can get, you know, some vets in these rural areas, especially like you said, down south. It's so bad down
uh-huh.
there. There's just no options.
Yep.
And if we could just get a vet to donate a couple hours a weekend, you know.
Yeah, it takes us asking for more from more people. So that's the key for me. The key to opening up the universe is asking. You know, it's an old biblical thing, asking you shall receive, only we got to be specific with our asks. You know, can you donate time? Can you help out? Can you donate a vehicle? Can you give us your vet clinic for the weekend? But it starts to build momentum because people see when others are helping, they're inclined to help. Kind of like the old folk tale of stone soup. There was the whole village was looking at an empty pot, but soon people started throwing carrots and potatoes and onions in, and then it became a feast for everybody. I like to apply the same principle to the animal rights movement. If we all add to the pot, it's a huge feast.
I like that.
I like it
too. We all
too.
Have to add. Yeah. So that's
yes,
kind of been my
yes,
philosophy. Can everybody add to the gumbo, which would be our soup down here?
And then
wow.
Watch how fast the changes get made, you know? That's,
exactly.
That's key.
Ask people
strength
to pitch in.
Strength the numbers.
In. Exactly.
Right there, Ray?
Yep.
Strength the numbers. That sticks in my head, too. You know? That's,
yep.
That's awesome because it's true. The power of the people, the power of social media. You know, just don't sit there and do nothing. Get up because now we have to – we control what's going on right now and the future of all of us. And we're not becoming younger. We're all becoming older. You know, generations coming up, our children, our grandchildren,
mm-hmm.
our great-grandchildren. When, you know, this is all, we're heading for the 22nd century. And so we have to do what we can do because a lot of us will be off this earth, you know. We don't know when because death don't discriminate. But what we can do is make a difference, a positive difference.
Nice. Yep. What
you
will
know?
Be our legacy?
That's right, because we're going to go down in the history books, and we don't want to be known as, oh, these group, this generation, these couple generations didn't do nothing to make any changes. You know, we
right.
we got to take the, right? I mean, that's the, so we have
yeah.
to make, you know, it will be down
don't
in history
be part
books.
Of the generation that failed, right?
That's it. That's right.
From the greatest generation to the ho-hums. Yeah.
That's it. You know, we're sitting on, like, bumps on logs. No, we can't do that.
It has made a huge impact, and I believe that the work that we are doing is going to carry on. I know it's going to carry on with my grandkids because they are so involved, and if we each can just get one more person, young person
yeah.
involved, we know
right.
it's going to carry on, you know?
Yep, the whole movement, if we try to double by asking one more person to get involved, imagine the strength that will grow exponentially from a few million to a dozen and then triple that. So, like, it's endless, but we have to do our part. Let's get one more person involved and ask
that's
them
it.
To get one more person. So, yeah, that's where our growth can be.
That's right. Keep growing. Not go backwards.
Yep.
You know, we can't bring it down to zero of anything, but at least we can have it go down massively decrease, not just stay the same, the numbers, or keep growing in numbers of the violence and the abuse and the neglect, because they're all crimes. You know, animal
mm-hmm.
cruelty out there is happening, everybody. It does exist today, and it's still going on. You know, the victories are coming in. I don't stop when there's a victory. I keep going. And
nice.
It gives me, you know, encouragement to keep going. Hey, keep them victories coming. That's the goal right
uh-huh.
there. You know, and
perfect.
It makes you feel good because you're a part of it. And you knew you did your part. You can't take total credit, but you are involved. And you say, hey, thanks to everybody involved here because we made a difference. You know, I
mm-hmm.
see it happening all the time. People say, oh, you know, politicians don't care. It's all about money. There's all greed bullies and this and that. We got to change that. If people feel like that, we have to change it because we have the opportunity to, you know, make that difference. Pick that phone up. Make that email. You know, write that letter. Whatever you need, sign that petition. Get it, you know, hold up. Let's say Humane Society of Louisiana. If you're living in Louisiana, then, you know, contact them and how you can help out. Donate. Because donations are tax deductible right there, right, Jeff? Where you can,
of course. Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
For the last 30
well
years.
Worth
and
it.
We also take in used cars, boats, motorcycles, turn around, use the profits for good. So take a look at our website, if you don't mind, humanela.org. You'll see all the different programs and services we're trying to do on a small budget. Look at our Facebook page. We try and post daily some of the cruelty cases that we are a part of or monitoring through the court system, which is takes a whole lot of patience and fortitude to get them to trial and then be ready if the judge goes with you or against you. We're seeing a lot of lenient sentencing, even with heinous crimes. So we're not done yet. We've got a long way to go with these judges who are giving us these criminals real breaks. Very little jail time, which is really upsetting us because we worked very hard to get them to trial. And we've collected all the evidence and witnesses and statements and vet reports. And all of a sudden they walk. I can't believe it. Or they get probation and a small fine. The lesson's been lost. They'll do it again. So
Absolutely. We
got to be, as you said, advocates forever and a stronger voice and be willing to do the time and effort and get better at what we do so that we're more efficient and effective. So that's kind of my personal motto. How can I get more done in a shorter amount of time and be effective?
That's right. And you're so right, Jeff. And, Jeff, I got another call. We got like 3 minutes
sure.
left.
Take it.
I'm going to take that in. And, Ray, you stay on air, okay?
And tell
Skyler hello.
Right,
I can't wait to have him on. But anyway, caller from you're live and on the air, Animal Advocates Radio. Welcome aboard. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hello?
Hi, Deb. And hi, Jeff. Thank you both for everything you're doing. I just wanted
you're
to say,
welcome.
I think you're. Yeah. You know, I think what you're saying is really right about how everybody does their part, but also it's the momentum thing. Like, if you notice, the shows, like even on Hallmark, are starting to show people with their adopted rescue dogs, and the message is getting out there slowly but surely. And, you know, there's something called, you know, getting on the bandwagon and critical mass. And I think we're getting to a point where we are starting to make a difference. So, you know, just stay the course.
And keep going. Right, Val?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
people
thanks for calling in. She's a former guest, too. Thanks for tuning in. I'd like to have you back on there, too. I'll be contacting you, you know.
Awesome.
So thank
welcome.
You.
Okay.
And we're down to and Ray and Val and Jeff, thank you. Jeff, thanks for coming on. Looking forward to having you back on again. This has been another great show. It's, you know, to all the listeners out there and the callers and the guests, making it all successful. Ray, thank you for calling in, and looking forward to having you back on next month. And I know Skyler's going to enjoy it, and tell him to keep, you know, speaking highly for the animals and standing up for them, because that's what we need. And all of you listeners out there tuning in, you know, thanks for, you know, listening in. And please spread the word to your, you know, your family, your brothers, sisters, your spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, your children. You know, the more of us, the better. And getting the word out. And a big, huge shout out to my mother, the beautiful inside now. She's listening and she supports the show also. Thanks, Mom, or AKA
Thanks.
Moose. That's her nickname. She don't look like a moose, but she is a lovable, caring mother. And a big, huge thank you to Take Action, Help Ban Animal Gas Chambers, Megan Mason, Holly Smith, the Paul's Call Show, Voices Care for Animal Support Group on Facebook, fans of animal rights, a big thank you for your big support promoting this show every week. Help fight the war against all animal cruelty today. Evelyn Pendle and Debbie Eisman, Voice for Animals, A Voice for Animals on Twitter, Sean Walters, Paul's Pet Foundation, thank you, Sam Diaz, We Love Pit Bulls Podcast, Diane Lynn Echo on Blog Talk Radio and Facebook, thank you, Diane. We got Ask Sue Radio Show, she's from the UK, her support on Facebook and also Blog Talk Radio. And this list goes on, all the followers that help promote this show and the friends and the Pinterest, Twitter, Facebook. Thank you all. Thank you for tuning in. And hope you enjoy. Join us next week, Ellie Lakes, with Gentle Barn, okay? Next
nice.
Week at 7 o'clock Eastern time. So hope you
Good.
Tune in, everybody. And have a nice and peaceful evening. May God bless you all. Good night. Paul in hand, united we stand. Against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.
Bye, Deb. Bye, Deb.
Bye, Ray. Bye, Mama Cat.
Bye, baby.